Welcome to Hype episode 19. Mayor Mikhail and I here this week talk about movies, TV. You know, we're getting to the end of the year and we have some best of 2013 lists to talk about. Yeah, all today here on Hype. We're going to start with some of the more exciting news of the week, which is about television. And that show is Sherlock. The UK premiere date has been announced for January 1st, New Year's Day.
I'm so excited.
So we only have less than a month to go, but isn't it kind of weird that it's on New Year's Day? Like, I don't know if it doesn't.
It is bizarre. I don't consider that part of the Christmas time that they said that they're going to like release it on.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, it's going to be released like this Christmas. I'm like, that's not a Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like, I don't know, New Year's Day, do you really want to watch a show? I just wanted to like sleep on New Year's Day.
You know, recover from the hangover a little
bit. Yeah. I don't want to commit to an hour and a half program. Maybe I'm
but just. But they're doing the mini episode on Christmas. So like their whole timing is so weird.
Yeah.
Just for everything. I feel like the BBC is just like, whatever, people are just at home at this time. Maybe in England they are just at home. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I'm
just too cold to go outside. Right.
That's true. Maybe I'm just complaining because that I have to cover it, so that's not fun on New Year's
Day. Oh, so you have to be awake. Sucker.
Well, and the other thing is like, I don't know how we're gonna am I gonna watch a legal live stream or what?
Well, I know, like they could have just pushed it back 2 weeks and then they'd be like, oh, we're going to put it on at the same time as America. Yay.
Yeah.
Why would they have to put on at the same time as America? The world does not.
They don't have to, but it's just, it's so ridiculous because by the time like season three is over in the UK, it'll just start in America, but it's still plenty of time for all of the spoilers to get out.
Right.
I hate to break it to you, that's actually how it works for the rest of the world for like every other TV show.
We are Hollywood. We demand our shows first.
We're America. We're special.
I actually just realized that January 1st in the UK means almost like January 2nd in Australia, so I totally don't need to get up on New Year's Day. I can just hang out.
I'm gonna call our former Sherlock writer, Harry, and beg him to cover it for us. Harry, please.
That's a good move.
Please.
That is a good plan.
But, I mean, in terms of it airing at the same time, look at how successful the Doctor Who 50th anniversary was. That was something that worked really well for the BBC and BBC America. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm surprised that wasn't a sort of testing ground for them to be like, let's see how well Doctor Who does, then we'll consider doing it for Sherlock. Because that would have been great. Especially, and I mean, New Year's Day would have been perfect if it aired in the U.S. at the same time because everybody's off that day. So you could watch it on at like noon Eastern time and 5 p.m. UK time. It could work for everybody. I don't know. Missed opportunity, in my opinion.
I agree.
Marima mentioned that mini episode. This was announced earlier this week. It's great because it's the first time we're getting a Sherlock mini episode. So in a way, we're getting four episodes of Sherlock in 1 year, which after a nearly 2 year wait since series two, that's pretty exciting. We don't know what the mini episode is, though. The synopsis only says Sherlock has been gone for 2 years, but someone isn't quite convinced that he's dead. And the episode's title is Many Happy Returns. Any guesses as to what this could be?
His brother? It's been a really long time.
Yeah, it's not Watson.
That's right. I can't remember. I feel like a bad fan, but it was 2 years ago. Was his brother in on it when he, like, jumped?
Well,
because in the books, right, when he comes back, like, his brother has been supporting him while he's been away from Watson. Financially. So, that would kind of make sense if his brother knew before Watson knew, because that's in line with the books.
Yeah. Okay. So that could make sense.
I remember watching that last episode because I only watched it like maybe like a month or two ago. And it's just like, his brother was just sitting in the living room. Like when he got a card or he got a call or something and he found out, and like the look on his face, like it wasn't like, I don't know. It looked like he didn't know about it, but maybe.
it's definitely a introduction to series three, because the show picks up 2 years after Sherlock took his fall. And the synopsis, obviously, as I just read, it says Sherlock has been gone for 2 years. So it sounds like it happens right before episode one. And maybe it somehow, maybe it's an important introduction to episode one. Who knows? We'll have to see. But anyway, either way, it's good news. We don't know how it's airing in the U.S. I actually emailed PBS to see if they had any plans for it, but they didn't respond. So I don't know. The U.S. is screwed again. Or maybe
it's
we
a
can
hard
watch
life.
It online. It is a hard life here. Don't like it. Merrima created a great article earlier this week. Is now we have the date, so it's a little bit easier. But you did a piece, 6 Doctor Who memes that make waiting for Sherlock season 3 even worse. And you pointed out that all these doctors have come back in the time we've been waiting for Sherlock series 3.
Yeah, it was basically just photos of Benedict Cumberbatch looking really sad, and then just all the cool things that have happened in Doctor Who in the last 2 years. But I feel like I dropped the ball on this, because another one that we totally could have done was even Harry Potter came back before Sherlock.
Yeah.
That could be the sequel article.
Yeah, which definitely should have gone on that face where he has like 14 chins, which is the best one.
Are you referring to Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
Well, it's basically the same thing. Anyway, yeah, I mean,
yeah, I know,
because obviously, like, the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, there's a lot of people that watch both. And in the 50th anniversary, like, 5,000 cool things happened. Mm. And, you know, we've had seasons of Doctor Who every year, and poor Sherlock fans have been waiting 2 years since the last 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Which just makes it seem so harsh.
Yeah. I can't believe that the last episode of Sherlock aired January 15th, 2012. I didn't even realize that. So long ago.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was so long either, because I got into it after the first season had aired. Mm. And then I guess I waited for the second one, and I've been waiting since then, but it doesn't feel like it was that long. Mm.
Yeah, I watched all 6 episodes earlier this year for the first time, so that's why it doesn't feel like a long wait for me.
Yep, same here. I only finished them like 2 months ago, so this is like, whatever.
I hate both you guys.
For anyone who doesn't know, Sherlock, it stars Benedict Cumberbatch and John Watson. And the show, it's each series is 3 episodes that are 90 minutes each. So if you haven't watched yet, they're all available now on DVD, Blu-ray, digital. You can go and get them, and it'd be easy to catch up before. You still have a month to watch 6 90-minute episodes. Granted, they are 90 minutes, which is a lot longer than most normal television, but there's only 3 episodes per season. So easy to get through. If you haven't watched it yet, you should. The whole internet loves it. Sometimes it feels like the entire internet truly loves Sherlock.
It really does feel like that.
Sometimes it feels like they love it too much.
And in the time since Sherlock has last aired, Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman have both grown in their careers so much. I mean, Benedict has been in so many films this year. 12 Years a Slave, August, Osage County, Star Trek Into Darkness. What else has he been in this year?
The Fifth Estate?
Yes. The Hobbit. Parade to End.
Which one are you talking about? Cumbersnatch?
Yes.
Okay. Well, because literally I only heard The Hobbit, and both of them were in The Hobbit.
Yeah, so, and then Martin Freeman blew up this year, too. I mean, he was in The World's End, The Hobbit, the new Hobbit movie comes out next week, and they're just skyrocketing in fame, and it all started with Sherlock, and I guess sort of a couple other films, but Sherlock was the real push forward for them both. So that's what's going on with Sherlock. I'm really excited about a new show that Jenji Cohen is developing for HBO. She is the creator of Weeds, which aired on Showtime. It got crappy at the end, but we prefer to remember the better times in the earlier seasons. And she also created Orange is the New Black, the Netflix series, which has been their most popular show ever. Season one is out now. Season two is currently filming. She's developing for HBO a Salem period drama.
I'm so excited for this one.
The Hollywood Reporter broke the news and says it, quote, explores the circumstances around one of the most compelling chapters in American history, where intolerance and repression set neighbor against neighbor and led a town to mass hysteria. So, I mean, it doesn't say it explicitly, but I assume it's going to involve the Salem witch trials. I mean, looking at Genji's background, I feel like she would do something like that. And man, yeah, like Kyle said, it sounds great, even though the details are so scarce.
And just because the Salem witch trials are great, and like not a lot of television has covered that in the past. I haven't watched American Horror Story, so I don't know what that does. But like, so being able to like see that they're working on a show that explores the Salem witch trials is amazing. And a lot of people in the comments are saying that they hope that it's not kind of like magical or supernatural in a way, and it's actually like a historical kind of reflection of people calling people quote unquote witches and then seeing what's happening. And I think that would be awesome, instead of actually having witches to like have people who think other people are witches. I think that'd be great.
No, I agree. I think that's what she'll go for, because Orange is the New Black and Weeds were both grounded in reality as well. So HBO does their share of fantasy, like True Blood with the vampires, but yeah, I mean the Salem witch trials were real. So I was reading up on it when I was doing this article. They lasted only about a year or two. So if this show is wildly successful and it lasts for 8 seasons, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in terms of a timeline. But yeah, no, I'm really excited about this. And on HBO, I mean,
you know. But who's to say that witches aren't real? Oh,
everyone is to say that.
Well, I'll just keep thinking it in my head.
Speaking of Netflix, Marima, do you get Netflix in Australia? Like,
No, that's not a thing that exists. No,
that's a shame.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like so fun, this mythical land where you can get anything you want.
Well, I've never said it was fun. Zing. So on top of Orange is the New Black, they have another great original series, House of Cards. And we learned yesterday that is coming back February 14th, 2014. So for its second season, which is interesting.
Is it romantic at all? I mean, Valentine's Day?
Right. It's a political drama. It's really freaking good. And Netflix.
I just started watching it. I'm so into it.
So how are you watching it? Are you?
No comment.
Okay.
That's not.
It's not my fault. I don't have Netflix.
No, I don't blame you.
Netflix fault.
if only you had it.
Yeah, if only. But it's really good. I'm so into it. It's like, it's so good.
It is. It really is. So I think this is a great idea, releasing it on Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day this year falls on a Friday, and people who watch it, I think it gets an older audience, and I'm sure the audience is made up of plenty of couples who watched it together. So Valentine's Day weekend, they can spend watching it, the whole thing, together. You know, you can have 2 or 3 days of watching it over a holiday weekend. It's not really a holiday, but you know what I mean. It's like a good couples activity. So I think that may have been part of the reason they're releasing it Valentine's Day weekend.
What kind of couple are you in?
I was literally not just thinking that. I'm like, let's go sit and watch House of Cards for hours.
No, but you know, it's like, honey, let's watch our show together. You know, couples watch shows together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're just like, being totally cynical romantic. Against you.
Yeah, no. I think you are. But yeah, this the teaser trailer was perfect. By the way, if you watch House of Cards, it stars Kevin Spacey. And his wife is played by Robin Wright. And the trailer, the teaser trailer, is just Robin Wright's character, Claire, smoking in her home. It's completely silent. There's no sound. It's just her smoking. It's perfect.
Oh, wait. So I can actually, because I didn't watch it, because I didn't want to spoil myself,
yeah,
but it sounds
it.
Like absolutely nothing happens.
Nothing
so I'd be fine.
Spoiler,
okay, cool.
She's a smoker.
Yeah. Damn it. You ruined the whole thing.
In other news, moving on to network television, Glee is going to be celebrating its 100th episode in March, which is weird to think. I would have guessed that they already passed episode 100 because
yeah,
it's the fifth season.
It's weird.
But they're doing something interesting, to say the least.
Quote, unquote.
They are letting viewers vote for their favorite songs that they want the cast to perform again. So what they're calling remixes of the original covers. So it's hard to phrase this when you write it on Hypeable, I've noticed. So you can vote for songs like Bad Romance, Born This Way, Defying Gravity, Don't Stop Believing, which of course was their first hit. That you can vote for 30 songs. There's 30 songs to choose from, and I think you can vote for a few of them. And then the top 10 fan chosen Glee songs from the past will be, quote, remixed and performed by the current members in New Directions. And I assume the older cast members are going to be involved with these performances as well, because Ryan Murphy said that, he has invited all original cast members back, including Kristen Chenoweth, who was more of a guest star, right? She wasn't like...
Yeah, she only was in like a couple of episodes.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So they're really opening it up. My hesitation with this is that they're re-performing songs that fans already love the covers of, like... Doesn't that seem a bit odd? Like,
it's weird.
Like, don't stop believing.
Yeah. You know,
why should that be recreated?
And what kind of remix are they talking about? I mean, really, like, they've already, like, kind of made these songs their own with their own covers. Now they're just going to remix them more?
I think they just mean they're covering their own covers, which is, like,
yeah,
a weird concept.
It's boring.
And the whole, you know, ba, 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 like, they're going to, like, do the different
what
ba,
was
ba,
that?
Ba's. Like, you know how in the Glee
I think
club,
that was his
do...
attempt at a cappella.
Yeah,
a cappella?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah, so
very pitch perfect of you.
But that's what they do. So they're going to do different a cappella. I don't know.
They don't even do a cappella anymore. They've stepped far away from that.
I don't watch Glee, but it seems a bit like pandering to the audience just to give them some kind of involvement in the 100th episode. And like maybe Glee fans are into that. I don't know, but... otherwise, it seems a bit redundant. Because, like you said, they've already done these songs, so what's the point?
Yeah.
It would have been cooler if they just won every single competition that they're in, and they're like, oh, no more competitions, yay.
Yeah.
We're the champions of the world!
The school ran out of money, it's shutting down.
Oh, no. Sam's taxpayers. A stripper now, again.
Wait, what now?
One of the characters used to be a stripper.
Okay.
To make some extra money.
Excellent.
Let's talk briefly about The Walking Dead. I know neither of you watch, and I'm not going to spoil it. What?
I won't spoil it either, but...
Oh, you do watch?
No, I know. But on Facebook, literally like 90% of my newsfeed that day was people crying.
Well, that means you should watch it, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Shame on you. So, I mean, it's cable's most popular drama, if we put aside sports and network television. So, like I said, I'm not going to spoil it, but it was a big episode. My concern with this show, though, is that these big episodes happen too few and far between. This was the mid-season finale, so they had to finish it with a big bang, and they definitely lived up to that expectation. It was just like... Can't this happen a little more often? I mean, some of these episodes kind of drag. It's like there's not much happening, and then you finally get something exciting at the end of every episode, but you have to wait an entire hour for something exciting to happen. It's just, I'm still loving the show, don't get me wrong. It's just AMC needs to throw a little more money at them, because this is one of the reasons Frank Darabont, one of the executive producers, left. he wasn't happy with AMC not giving the show enough money, and the show has suffered because of that. But now I will say that they're going to be moving around more in the second half of season four, so they have a new chance to shake things up. Which,
oh, I know what that means, actually.
Yay!
Oh, wow. Okay. That little booth at Comic-Con did a lot for my Walking Dead knowledge.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, with that said, I do think the show is a bit overrated. I mean, Breaking Bad should have been the top show on television, not The Walking Dead, but what are you going to...
Yeah, but wait, is The Walking Dead like on a channel that anyone can get?
Yeah, AMC.
Oh, see, I didn't even know AMC existed, so I was just like, oh, maybe now that I know I get it, I'll watch it.
There's a world outside of Fox, you know.
No, I don't want to believe that.
And BBC. So, again, Marima did a original article about television. This one,
20... All of your original articles, Marima, God.
Oh, you know, this is actually a movie. Sorry, I put this in the wrong section.
I put that there. I'm sorry. My bad.
I did too. Oh, well. Well, we'll save it for a little bit. Don't you worry,
teaser.
Marima.
All right. I'll hold on.
So we did do an article, the best new television shows of 2013. Let me spew them off first, and then Marima and Kyle can add theirs, because I kind of screwed them over on this one.
Yeah, you did.
We asked Typable staff to pick their favorite new show of the year. I selected Masters of Sex, the show on Showtime that I recommended, I think, on this show recently. We also said Almost Human. That was Brandy's choice. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, comedy starring Andy Samberg. That was selected by Kristen Kranz. Sleepy Hollow, as selected by Kyle. The Blacklist, so selected by Jen. Orange is the New Black by Mitch. Once Upon a Time in Wonderland by Brittany. And Hostages by somebody none of you know, Ryan. But you guys pointed out, at first I suggested Fall 2013 TV, which is why you guys didn't select
Hannibal. Best Orphan show Black. Ever.
When did Hannibal go off air for the season?
I watched it after it was out, but in the middle of the year, like June,
was
I guess, or May.
Oh, okay.
It was like a spring show that only had like 10 episodes or something, like 12 episodes.
13, yeah.
13.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, just a short season.
And then Orphan Black aired in January, right?
In March.
Oh, okay. Which is when it comes back for season two.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so sorry, guys, but...
It's cool. At least we have hype.
Right. And the comments, where people also pointed out that Rain, The Originals, Orphan Black, Hannibal, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also should have been.
I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., really?
Well,
Michal totally would have said Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She's all about that, but she was in Israel, so.
That's true.
Joke's on her.
That's what you get for traveling. So yeah, we're going to be doing more best of 2013 articles as the year comes to a close. It feels like they get started earlier and earlier. I mean, December 1st, BuzzFeed already had up like 20 best of 2013 articles. I'm just like, you know, we're only, 11/12 of the way through the year. Like stuff can still happen. We wait a little bit. Jeez. You wanted to talk about Teen Wolf, Kyle, a new product came out? Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, this season, Teen Wolf split into two parts. There's part A and part B, and part B released a promo because it'll be airing on January 6th. And it's really interesting because it's like a completely different plot arc than the first half of the season. Hmm. And they're going for the whole lose your mind thing. And it's set to be very, very creepy. There's in the trailer, there's like in a previous trailer, there were like bodies crawling out from like the bins at the morgue where you put the bodies in, and like bloody hands and stuff. So it's very interesting that Teen Wolf is going the whole like American Horror Story route instead of like the Teen Wolf route. So it's awesome.
It seems like more and more these shows are splitting their seasons in half, which I actually like because it pushes the show further into the year, and you get to do these big mid-season finales and mid-season premieres.
Yeah, it's great, and it makes it like just more enjoyable because you have more plot stuff to think about, and you're not thinking about like this one plot arc that's overwhelming the entire show and like a whole bunch of useless stuff happening in between while you're waiting for that to end. So yeah. I like it.
Yeah, The Walking Dead does it. Geez, what else does it?
I totally hate this. This is the worst.
Oh,
I
really?
Hate this. Yeah, because, well, it's only because I just marathon watched Suits last weekend, the three seasons of it, but they split the third season, and now I have to wait for the second half of it, and I'm, like, not happy about that at all.
Yeah.
So, just slightly bitter.
Yeah. I know other shows do it, but of course I'm forgetting them right now. I mean, shows like Glee take these random four-week breaks that don't seem to ever make sense. Doctor Who does it, too, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank goodness Doctor Who does. Well, it's not. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically, like, yeah.
Pretty
it would
little...
be funny if Sherlock did it. Like, you watch one episode
oh my
and
goodness.
Then they're like, see you in 6 months.
Yeah. I know Scandal is about to do it. Pretty Little Liars does it. So it's...
The originals. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Mad Men is splitting their final season, even though, like, they're splitting it by an entire year, not just a season. So I guess that one doesn't really count. But HBO, though, they're still holding strong to the whole straight through, which is good. Like, True Blood, Game of Thrones.
I mean, they're only, like, 10
episodes.
There's
only, like, 10 seasons. 10 episodes, yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's hard to split that.
I mean, it would be really annoying if they, like, put Game of Thrones 5 episodes in, and then they're like, no, you have to wait for the best part.
You know what they've done? I can't remember what show did this exactly. It may have been True Blood, but they took a week off in between the penultimate episode and the series finale, which was cool. So there's like 2 weeks of anticipation instead of one. I can't remember what show did that, but I thought that was a good idea. Anyway, finally, last piece of TV news today. We just spoke about it, Orphan Black. Season 2... comes out in March.
Yeah.
It's got a first look today.
Mm-hmm. First look at season 2. It's the first actual still that we got because the quote-unquote trailer or teaser trailer is just Sarah walking through a station looking exactly like Sarah from the first season. So it's interesting because in this one there's Rachel and Sarah like going head-to-head on the ground, kind of, because it looked like Sarah knocked over Rachel and she's like, look at you, bitch. And they're looking at the same face. It's funny. Anyway, it's interesting. It goes to show that season 2 is going to have Sarah and Rachel at odds, which is pretty clear at what happened in the end of season 2. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch, I think, because I forget what. I mean, it was a great show. I remember that. I just forget what happened.
Yeah. I just rewatched it for, the Orphan Black podcast, so I totally know that you would have to rewatch it to get it.
Oh, okay.
When is season 2 starting?
Season 2 airs. I forgot the exact date. April. No, March.
Yeah, it's
April
March.
9th.
Oh, April?
Okay.
It's April 9th.
Maybe I'll watch it before it comes back.
April 19th, it comes back.
19th.
Oh, plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Oh yeah, and they're great episodes. Like when you watch one, you're just gonna get hooked into like the whole thing because they end on such great cliffhangers.
Yeah. So let's talk a little music before we get over to movies. DJ Earworm has released his United State of Pop 2013, and you may recognize his name because he does this every year. He mashes up all the top songs of the year into one. Let's see, this one's 5.5 minutes long. So it's pretty compact because this year he used a good 25, 30 songs, it looks like. I mean, you got Perry, Gaga, Lorde, Macklemore, Miley, Rihanna.
I'm mad that my girl Brittany ain't on this remix list.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Scream and Shout is on there, but that's like Will.i.am.
Yeah, that doesn't count. But Work Bitch definitely should have been on there.
Right?
because that came out a month or two ago too. So
exactly.
By the way, Britney's new album, not good.
Nah, it's boring.
She's like, it's my most personal album yet, and it's completely impersonal.
Like, yeah, I agree.
And this United States of Pop, this was not his best one. His best one was like 2011.
I was literally just gonna say that. Yeah. 2011 was the best. If you guys haven't heard of DJ Eworm, like, he does this every year, and it's really fun to check out, because he goes for a theme in each video. And so, like, that's probably why that, like, Work Bitch wasn't in this, because it didn't fit, like, the type of theme or message that he was trying to get across.
Well, the theme this year is Living the Fantasy.
Yeah.
So. Oh, Work Bitch would totally fit in that.
Yeah.
He just did a BuzzFeed and made it in like November or something, and just was like, oh, damn, I can't fit this in. Oh, well, maybe no one will.
Living the Fantasy is a reference to the Lord song, Royals. Let me live that fantasy.
Oh, that was so good.
Thank you.
Mm. I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah,
I always enjoy these.
You do? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're fun.
There's always like one random song on there that I've never heard in my life, though, out of all of them. And
which
I'm
one
like,
was that this year?
Well, I don't know, because I've never heard them before.
Oh.
Like, I just hear bits of songs in it that I'm like, what? Where is this coming from?
They're good for one listen, I think. I don't listen to them like again and again.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to like 2009 or 2011 again, but not this one.
Yeah, 2009 was so good. That was really good.
I guess they're good time capsules. Like, maybe in a few years we'll be like, oh, 2013's was great.
It's so retro, 2013.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Let's move on to movies now. The first full-length Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer came out this morning. 2 minutes and 41 seconds. It's actually pretty dang long. Now, unfortunately, Josh isn't here, our resident movies expert, but I mean, I could say it looks good.
Oh yeah, it totally looks amazing. No pun intended.
I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen the first Amazing Spider-Man, though, so.
Really?
Why? Yeah. It's so much better than Tobey McDouche's.
Yeah, way better.
Okay.
That guy sucks.
Yeah.
Guess I'll have to watch then. I did see those.
Plus, I mean, Andrew Garfield's butt in it looks amazing, so you'll appreciate that at least.
One thing I noticed YouTubers were noticing is that, and I think we spoke about this on Hype a while ago, Shailene Woodley was cut from the movie. She was going to play Mary Jane, but in the trailer, you actually see her from the back.
Wait, really?
Yeah, and there's a screen cap in the article here. And it's definitely her, because she's wearing a jean jacket that we saw her wearing on set in a paparazzi photo. And we saw, and you can see the way her hair goes in a ponytail over her left shoulder. That's how it went in the paparazzi photo, too. So I don't know if this is an oversight or, like, the scene definitely can't be in the movie. So the trailer editors, because usually they hire an outside company to edit together a trailer, and this footage must have somehow been included, and they were like, okay, yeah, we'll include this, not knowing it was Shailene Woodley, because it's just from the back. But
I mean, they do that all the time. Like, movie trailers have a bunch of scenes in that aren't actually in the movie.
Yeah, but this is a whole character. This is a whole plot line. Like,
that's true.
And I mean, this made headlines a few months, and in June it was when it was announced that she wasn't going to be in it, so it seems pretty significant that they let this through. But
I feel like it was definitely an oversight.
Yeah, somebody in the comments pointed out that shot you picked as a header is terrible.
I just read that.
Yeah.
It does look CGI-like.
It is so bad.
Terrible.
But, I mean, like, within the context of the trailer, I thought it worked. So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it works for the movie. It's sad that it's such bad CGI.
Well, yeah, the effects are not always like totally there in the trailers and stuff. They can get improved, I suppose, but that does look really bad.
I'm watching this trailer again right now. I mean, I thought the special effects actually looked the same all throughout this. They looked like kind of smooth animation. It's not like gritty animation. I mean, and maybe they were just going for that type of style because so many of these superhero movies are so gritty these days and not like colorful and vibrant.
That's why I feel like Spider-Man is so hard to animate and to get the effects done, because he looks so cheesy anyway, just like in his outfit.
Yeah.
He looks ridiculous. So as soon as you animate him, it just looks like a bad video game straight away.
Although, I mean, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man animation-wise, I thought was on point.
Those movies were the worst.
I liked them.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong.
I hate Tobey Maguire.
Me too. His little emotional face is just like, ugh, go away.
Ugh. The worst. But no, this looks cool. I'm really excited for it. Although, like, obviously, I don't have the insider knowledge of the comics and stuff, but the plot of it kind of reminded me a lot of the first one. And this is meant to be a trilogy, right? So,
four-parter, actually.
Oh, four parts. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. So I'm curious to see where they're going with this, because a lot of this I was like, oh, so there's the bad guy from the company and, you know, again, cool.
Yeah, well, like the whole Harry Osborn thing is part of the comic books. Like that's just like a whole thing where his dad was like the Green Goblin, and then like he kind of like steps into the role and takes over as the evil villain after being like betrayed by Spider-Man. So
But he's not the villain in this.
Not in this one. No.
No.
Which, by the way, like Harry Osborn in this movie, like the actor, like I was just like, no.
Oh, he looks good. I like him. He's from Kill Your Darlings. Yeah. Kill My Darlings. Kill Your Darlings. Yeah.
And also that Super Clove. What was that called? Cloverfield.
Oh, Super Clove? Are you like combining Super Clyde and Clover?
Yeah, something like that. No, but he was in Cloverfield. That was Chronicle. That was the one I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I'm just saying
that.
I prefer James Franco looks wise, but that's just me.
I just still can't get over how Spider-Man 2 came out 10 years ago next year. Like, this is so dumb.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it came out in 2004.
Ooh,
I'm just looking at it now. When did
the third one come out?
And that one was really bad, right?
Yeah.
That one came out in 2007.
Oh, that is... Yeah, this is too soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's 6 years ago.
Yeah. So Spider-Man 3 will be out... Amazing Spider-Man 3 is supposed to be out in 2016, so it'll be 9 years after the third original Spider-Man.
Then again, like, apart from my feelings of dislike towards Tobey Maguire, I've, like, totally forgotten that those Spider-Man movies even happened. They didn't leave a very lasting impression, you know?
That's good.
Well, they left a lasting impression on me, because both two times I went to go see the second one, I had like heart palpitation. I don't even know what you call them, but like I started freaking out because my heart started freaking out, and I'm like, I need to leave the theater.
You were having a heart attack. You should go.
It was the weirdest thing.
You should go to the hospital.
Yeah,
you're dying. But, well, I mean, I hope this series leaves a lasting impression, because I don't want the Super Amazing Spider-Man trilogy coming out in 10 years from now, you know?
Yeah, and then after that, seriously, this guy is really awesome Spider-Man movies.
The Spider-Man Rises.
Oh, God.
In some sad news, which we should mention, Paul Walker, the Fast and Furious star, was killed in a car accident, which everybody probably knows by now. But Universal this week decided that they are going to shut down production until further notice. They're just putting it on hold until they figure out what to do. There was some talk that they were going to make a quick decision to still make the July 2014 deadline, because they were only in the middle of shooting. They still had a bunch more to shoot. Now, without his character, they're considering what to do. And the Fast and the Furious franchise, I mean, this was the seventh movie that they're filming. It's a very big series for them. So to lose one of the lead stars was significant.
There are seven of those things?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
And Paul Walker was in almost all of them. So I hadn't even heard of Paul Walker before.
Me neither.
Before
I knew him from 8 Below with the ducks.
I remember when you discovered that fact.
Oh yeah, I was talking to Kyle, and I was like, Fast and the Furious, I don't watch them. And then I saw he was in 8 Below, and I got really sad.
So That's what's going on there. Gal Gadot was cast as Wonder Woman in Batman vs. Superman. That's not the official title, by the way. It may soon just be Justice
Superwoman
League.
Or something.
No, Justice League. This is coming together. Because now we have three big characters from the Justice League: Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, and there's talk of a big lead villain being involved. So, director Zack Snyder said of the announcement of Gal Gadot, "Wonder Woman is arguably one of the most powerful female characters of all time and a fan favorite. Not only is Gal an amazing actress, but she also has that magical quality that makes her perfect for the role." So this is, it's cool. We'll have to see what this movie ends up being titled, because we know Warner Brothers wants to do a Justice League movie. It's just, is this actually it? Time will tell.
That would be really funny.
That would be.
If they're like, jokes, guys, Justice League.
And it will be directed by Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm. I like her. She looks good.
Yeah, she looks good. Of course, the men are like, saying, oh, she's not curvy enough.
Wait, no, I thought Ben Affleck was going to be Batman.
He is. I was joking about him.
It was just a bad joke. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But I saw a lot of people in the comments were saying, like, she needs to bulk up a bit, which I definitely agree.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just a promo thing. She'll be good. I mean, I know.
It's a little weird that they're saying that, like, an actress that was in the Israeli military needs to bulk up. It's true.
It's true, like, you're saying?
Yeah. You think
well,
that
she's a model, though. She's a model as well, so.
Goodness.
You know.
This is
I don't know in what order. Right, it depends what order. If she was in the army and then, like, became a model, she'd probably, like, slim down a lot, I would imagine.
Anyway, moving on, there's big news in the Veronica Mars world this week as well. We got a release date, almost a year to a day from when they announced the project. Veronica Mars, the Veronica Mars movie will be released nationwide March 14th, 2014. And it was only supposed to be in limited theaters, but Rob Thomas, the creator and executive producer, he managed to get it into more theaters than planned. So it's going to have a pretty wide release, which is cool. Of course, this was all funded by a Kickstarter, everybody remembers. And if you donated, you got some cool benefits like the film on DVD and a shirt, other merchandise, depending on how much you donated. So, look forward to that in March. Very soon, actually. Quick turnaround. It only took them like a month or two to film, at most. Let's talk some Catching Fire. It caught fire at the box office, as every quote-unquote clever... It actually broke a Thanksgiving box office record. Sorcerer's Stone, believe it or not, has been holding the record of $82.4 million domestically for the past 12 years. And Catching Fire was the film to finally beat it with $110 million over the Thanksgiving weekend.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's about time. 12 years is a really long time to hold that type of record, I think. So, pretty impressive. It has now made over $300 million in the United States and $573 million worldwide. Its opening weekend totaled $161 million domestically, making it the highest grossing November opener ever. And that record was previously held by the Twilight Saga New Moon.
Yeah.
Take that, Twilight. Just breaking all the fandoms' records.
I still have to go back and see Catching Fire again and give it more money.
Yeah, you do. It's great. It's fantastic.
It was really good, yeah. I enjoyed
this. This isn't really surprising.
No, well, I mean...
It's surprising that Harry Potter held it for so long, I think. It's not surprising that Catching Fire is making a lot of money.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how Mockingjay Part 1 does, because historically, I don't think these Part 1 films haven't done as well as the Part 2, and... Maybe that's just in part because Part 2 is always the grand finale, so everybody's like, oh, I gotta go see the grand finale. Part 1 doesn't seem as important because it's only the first half. And I'm actually rereading Mockingjay right now because I want to find potential split points and do an article on it. So I'll report back to you guys, let you know. Andrew's picks.
Nothing out of Mockingjay.
Huh? Nothing happened?
You can have that one.
Thank you. Very kind of you.
You're welcome.
Andrew's top five picks for where to split the movie. After Haymitch says this, after Effie says that.
After Gale does this.
Yeah. After this kiss by Katniss. Speaking of Harry Potter, the Wizarding World Diagon Alley looks to be opening in June. That is the expansion happening down in Orlando.
Woo!
So that'll be, the original opened in June 2010. So this will be 4 years, almost to the day that the original opened, which is kind of cool.
Do we know, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you know whether or not it's going to be like the same, like, width as the Wizarding
size?
World,
just the same
just because the little, oh my bad, the goodness,
wow, you feel really strongly about this.
Well, the dang like streets in this theme park are so thin that like if you get like over like 100 people walking in the street at the same time, it's like crowded as hell.
Well, unfortunately, I think that's going to be the same case. There's aerial photos of the landscape and whatnot. I think, like, they do that because that's how it is in the Wizarding World. If they make the walkways too wide, then it doesn't feel as Wizarding World-ish. I think that was what they were arguing with the first one. They were, you know, the stores were cramped on purpose because that's what happens in the movies. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just sort of a nightmare, especially when it's so hot and it's so crowded.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to like sacrifice like Wizarding World feelness for the ability to not get stuffed next to some stranger's armpit.
Yeah.
In yeah, like 80 really degree humidity. Reason. That's a terrible reason.
Well, I guess the solution is just not to go during the summer.
Well, I really want to. I mean, I'll probably be in the States in July next year, and I really want to go to this, but I really don't want to go because it'll have been open for a month.
Yeah,
July's... But then, like, yeah, I know. Well, we went July this year, and it was so hot. And
it was hot.
Yeah. You know, my complaint when I went, because obviously, like, that was the first time I'd been, and I went with Kyle, was it was so small. So I'm really excited for the expansion, but, I mean, I really don't want to go after it's been open for a month, because it'll just still be filled with the people who went for the opening who just haven't left.
And historically, that's just one of the worst times to go to theme parks, because it's the summer. People go there on vacation.
And then, yeah. And if you're expecting to just like walk into the theme park and then walk into Wizarding World, like you're going to walk into the theme park and then run into a line of the other just people that want to walk in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, totally.
I mean, I hope it has a big opening and everybody, you know, and it boosts sales and everything. But everybody I know and all listeners should just wait till the fall or winter because it's going to be so crowded. Then again, I mean, there aren't new films and books coming out right now, so it's like, can they capture the same excitement? I think so.
Probably, yeah. The expansion looks cool, though.
Oh, yeah, it does.
I'm really excited for these things, and I'm not really a theme park kind of person, but, you know, I'm a big nerd, so I can get behind this.
Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the Hogwarts Express, they're doing the Diagon Alley Thrill Ride. I think they're going to announce a lot more next month during the celebration of Harry Potter that they're doing there in January. So get more details soon, hopefully. Let's move on from Harry Potter. Oh, actually, no. Let's stay on Harry Potter for one more moment. I just miss MuggleCast. I need to talk Harry Potter as much as possible. Alfonso Cuarón says he'd be interested in directing the Harry Potter spinoff, the Fantastic Beast potential series. J.K. Rowling, of course, is writing the first movie right now. He was asked at a party by Vulture, what are your thoughts on that? And He said, Azkaban was fun to make, and when I did it, I was invited to do the next one, but I didn't want to overstay the welcome because it was such an experience. But now, why not? I do have stuff that I want to do next, but a JK thing. And then stopped himself, and he said, they haven't called me yet. They haven't decided to invite me. Looking forward, at least, to see it, because nobody's invited me. So he was, like, backtracking on giving anybody the impression that he's going to direct, but it's clear that he's interested in directing, and he still has huge respect for J.K. Rowling. He would drop projects.
Well, he can take that respect and just shove it while he watches from the movie theater as he watches someone else direct it.
So you
really
like Alfonso?
Yeah. No.
I would love to see this.
I would too.
Azkaban's like my least favorite film.
No, now, the problem with Azkaban is that it was so different from the first two that, like, viewers got whiplash because we weren't used to the changing of directors. I seriously think that's what it is. Apart from, like, him dropping the ball with some of the storylines, and that's really the Steve Kloves fault, who I actively hate. But I think he's such a great director, and I would love to see him kind of shape it from the start, because I think he has such a cool visual style and a really unique take on it. I don't know. I think this would be fun.
Well, no, I mean,
I agree with you completely. I think this is what Fantastic Beasts needs. It needs more of an adult feel. That's what people credit Alfonso with bringing to the Harry Potter series, because, like Marima said, the whiplash between the childishness of movies 1 and 2 from Chris Columbus, then suddenly this more adult film from Alfonso. It was great, and it fit the tone of the books. It was a darker book. Things did get darker with the Dementors primarily.
It was too blue. It was way too blue.
Oh, whatever.
No, I just want like I'll reiterate what I said in the comments for that article. It's just I don't want Fantastic Beasts to be directed by who directed the first few Harry Potter movies, just because I feel like it'd be nice to have it be like a completely separate thing that people don't necessarily have to associate like the directors with. It'd be more unique that way, I think.
Yeah, it would, but it also feels a little risky to pull a different director. I get what Marimo was saying, like for Alfonso to sort of set the groundwork here, and then let's say this turns into a big series, which everybody is hoping, so long as it's good. If it turns into a big series, then people can work on what Alfonso started. So I don't know. I mean, it's just talk. It could very well not happen at all. But I mean, then again, David Yates is involved with Fantastic Beasts, and he produced all the movies, so that could work in Alfonso's advantage. We'll see. Stay tuned.
I really want to see this now. I'm really excited.
Now,
no, Alfonso direct. Oh. I think he would be fantastic.
8 reasons why Alfonso Cuarón is great for Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, you want me to write that, or you want me to tell you right now?
No.
I totally could.
That's a good transition into Marima's article that we teased earlier. So you looked on IMDb for fun facts. Was it all IMDb, or was it elsewhere too?
Oh, no, it's IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of actors, you actually don't realize, were originally offered major parts. For example, Rupert Grint almost had the lead role in A Cinderella Story. So tell us about this article.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, that's basically it. It's like people that could have got the part in mainly, you know, 90s, early 2000s movies from our childhood. Mm-hmm. For the nostalgia element, which all the kids like these days. I always like knowing people that, you know, were almost cast, because I think it's really funny to think about. Like, for example, Rupert Grint, which would have been hilarious. And, you know, some of them are not such a big deal, but The Princess Diaries, apparently everyone auditioned to that, like everyone in Hollywood. There's like 35 people on that list who were apparently offered it, which is very funny to me. But, you know, it makes sense because it was Anne Hathaway's first movie. The one I thought was the funniest was that Matthew McConaughey, the studio, apparently wanted to cast him in Titanic instead of Leonardo DiCaprio.
So
just
different.
So random.
Oh my goodness.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot of like crossover with, you know, Lindsay Lohan was going to be cast in this, and then like Hilary Duff was going to be cast as her, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's just a fun little thing.
Cool.
Well, I'm glad that Leonardo DiCaprio didn't get the part in Hocus Pocus, because that's just another film that he almost would have not gotten any sort of nomination for.
Yeah. True that.
It's featured on our homepage now, so you can check it out if you want. Looking at what is ahead, briefly, just want to mention that The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, comes out next week. We'll have a review up. I'm sure maybe we'll do an extra fun thing or two. I went to the press day yesterday. I got to lay eyes on Benedict Cumberbatch for the first time, which was cool. He wasn't.
Oh, like, was he dreamy?
He was so dreamy.
Oh my God.
He and Evangeline Lilly in particular were having a lot of fun during the press conference. So I'll have some great quotes from them in the coming days. Benedict was asked at one point about him and Martin Freeman, how they worked together on two major projects now. Of course, Sherlock, and now Benedict plays the dragon himself, Smaug. And of course, Martin Freeman.
I love the way
Bilbo.
You say that.
Yeah, because I think that's how it's like officially pronounced, Smaug.
Smaug.
That's the southern way.
Smaug. Smaug. You're so big. Oh, like, my God.
Did you just say smog? Like the desolation of smog?
I'd say smog. I've said it like that when I read it in my, like when I first read the book. So I can't change it now. It's too late.
I think it's
that's
smog.
Like 15 years ago I read that book earlier.
So more will be said about the movie next week. I did see it, but Warner Brothers isn't letting people talk about it until next week. So, I hate saying that. I can't
did
talk
you,
about it yet.
You can't even say if you liked it or not.
I don't know. I'd rather just not even say anything.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
I'll say I liked it. Yeah, I'll say. I liked
yeah. Okay.
It. Where was I going with that? Oh yeah. So next week, quotes up from. The Desolation of Smaug press day. Unfortunately, didn't get any one-on-ones, but oh well, maybe next time for part three, or even part four when they split the finale into two parts again.
Oh, don't even joke about it.
Evangeline Lilly, by the way, a huge Tolkien fan, like a serious hardcore Tolkien fan. And
obviously not that big a fan because her character doesn't exist.
I'm glad you mentioned that
in
because
the book.
She was hesitant about taking the role. This is a new role, Toriel. She was hesitant about taking it, and she did it under one condition, and they ended up backtracking on that one condition, so they kind of screwed her over. So,
nice.
Well, yeah, you'll get to read about that next week. Teaser. So that comes out December 13th.
Yep.
A couple other big films coming out. American Hustle, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner. That comes out Christmas. So does Anchorman 2. Osage County. Several great films coming out over the next few weeks to look forward to.
And then the Doctor Who Christmas special, Matt Smith leaving us.
Yeah, big
film. This month, in 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there are actually a bunch of spoilers about the Christmas special if you guys want to take a look at the Doctor Who page on Hypeable. You get to find out basically what kind of happens to the Doctor and why.
Oh, yeah, he leaked something. Right?
Mm-hmm, and why he might be regenerating, so that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah, Christmas. So we got three big Christmas Day specials. We got Doctor Who, Sherlock, and one we haven't talked about yet, Downton Abbey. They're doing their annual Christmas special like they always do. So.
See, I feel like Downton Abbey isn't on anyone's mind at the moment because nothing big happened at the end of last season and nothing big's going to happen on the Christmas special.
Yeah, that's true. But they could surprise us. They're going to... what's that called? Oh, completely forgetting right now. They're going into London. Like, the whole family is traveling into London for Lady Rose's coming out ceremony in front of the King and Queen.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That actually should be, sounds kind of entertaining.
And also Paul Giamatti guest stars as Cora's brother. Buckingham Palace. They go to Buckingham Palace for Rose's coming out. So she's coming out as a lesbian.
Oh, no.
No, not really.
Sweet.
And she felt
I watched Downton Abbey. I just felt like I needed to be involved.
Oh. Wait, you do or don't?
Well, no, I've watched the first two seasons and then I kind of faded.
Third season's so good, though.
Is the third season worth going back for? I already know all the spoilers, though, so I don't know.
Just the writing, it makes me so happy.
I mainly just watched it for Maggie Smith, I'll be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
She's freaking awesome, yeah.
Her dialogue is so good. So good. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Hype. We'll be back later this month with episode 20, where we will talk more about these Christmas specials, inevitably. And whatever else is going on during this slower holiday period, as always, visit hypeable.com. You can talk about the show with fellow listeners in the comments section for this episode. And we'll see everybody next time. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Tara Kyle.
And I'm Aramawatch.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.